Morning.
Good morning.
How are you today? Good. I want us to take interest in the psalm that we read today, partly because, as was announced at the beginning of the Lenten season, we want to use a psalm as a means of expressing ourselves to God in the season of prayer, in the season of fasting, which is a very important season for all of us in the Christian faith as we prepare ourselves to go through a process of suffering and separation from sin and all our frailties, and then eventually rise together with Christ Jesus on Resurrection Sunday, which is in 2 weeks' time. Psalm 127, which we read today, is an expression of themes of redemption and joy and gratitude to God. It was, of course, written, as you say, as it was written upon the return of the Israelites from the Babylon captivity. So this is a psalm which is one of the psalms that are called songs of ascent. And it is meant to express the redemption of God's people and also to affirm the promises of God for the people who are returning from exile. I just want you to put your finger on that, because I want us at the end of the day to use that as a moment for us to express our hope, our aspiration, our trust in God. A recent national study dubbed Jesus in America, which was commissioned by the Episcopal Church and conducted by a polling firm called Ipsos, found that most Americans see Jesus as an important spiritual figure. This is a study which I think was released about 2 weeks ago. It's an interesting study commissioned by our church, the National Church, to find out about Jesus in America. The interesting part is that 95% of Christians around the U.S. said, yes, Jesus is a very important spiritual figure in this country. And 55% of other religious people, people from other religion, like Muslims and other religion, they also said, yes, Jesus is a very important figure, spiritual figure in America. What was of interest also is that 50% of the those who identify themselves as non-religion, which was pretty high, they also said Jesus is an important figure in America, which was an interesting study. And also it gave a picture of how we view Jesus Christ. But also there was a component which said that there's a growing tendency among people of faith or Christians to talk about Jesus Christ in places that are not religious, like workplaces. People don't tend to be, they don't share much more, they don't talk much more about Jesus Christ. So there's a lot of, we can talk about Jesus in this space, but we don't talk much about Jesus outside Christian spaces, which I think I'm one of those who find it hard to talk about Jesus in other spaces. Like, I'm pretty much involved in some sports for our children. It's just so hard to imagine talking about Jesus to some of my friends, the parents, and so on. Worst of it is when they get to know that you work in the church and you're a priest, they all go like, hey, you know, there's so much discomfort and a lot of fear, and so you try to keep yourself unidentified. There's so much discomfort to talk about Jesus Christ. The question is, why Jesus? Why Jesus? Why was this study so important? And I think that's where we are today, to ask ourselves that question. Why Jesus? What does Jesus mean to me as an individual, to us as a people of faith today, to us as the people in this world? Because that's where we need to begin to have deeper conversation as Christians. In fact, the reason why the church commissioned this study was that they will be able to understand what they can do in our world, or to know what they will be able to do. What does Jesus mean to all of us? To a woman who is just attending a dinner which was meant to be a dinner for friends, and at the dinner table, she decides to break her perfume now, the perfume jar, and pour it on the feet of Jesus Christ. And then there was a wonderful fragrance, but there were also people who started complaining, who like, this perfume could have been saved and sold and the money given to the poor. So the dinner turned into a Jesus moment. Jesus is now the issue at the dinner. And Jesus said, leave this woman alone, because what she has done was in preparation for my burial. For the poor you will always have, but for me you won't always have. I think that we are at a point in our calendar when we are invited to take a deeper introspection or deeper inquiry of who Jesus is to each one of us. Because if we do so, we will find so much meaning as we go into Sunday, so that when he comes riding on a donkey, you will know who is this that is coming riding on a donkey. When he goes through suffering, we will appreciate what he will be going through, because whatever suffering he will be enduring during the Holy Week, which starts on Sunday, it will have a direct bearing on our well-being. And so when we get through to Good Friday, we will know that he's not just dying like any other death, but that he is dying, he is suffering and dying to pay a price for all of us. And so Mary at the dinner table draws the attention of all the people in the room on Jesus. And then the question is, who is this guy? Why should we all focus on him? Why should we all of a sudden wonder what he is here for? In the morning, in the 7:45 service, after I preached, one dear woman came to me and says, actually, what amazes me about Jesus towards his death was his, more than his divinity, was his humanity. How his human life connected to our lives. How we identify ourselves with him. Because he's going to suffer, he's going to endure rejection, he's going to endure pain, which we all know, which we've gone through at some point. And it is that relationship that makes Jesus relevant to our time. And so we are at a point where we need to say, hey, wait a minute, who is this guy? Who is he to me? Until we wrestle with that question, we might not appreciate Palm Sunday. We might not appreciate the Holy Week. And even more, we might not appreciate why is he hanging on the cross? Because if you look at this man who is coming on the donkey and understand that he is here to redeem us. He is our redemption. He is our hope. He is our help. And that's why when we read the psalm, we see a mix of excitement, hope, joy, a sense that there is redemption. That Psalm 126, which we read today, becomes so real when we understand who this gift is. He is our redemption. He is the answer of God to our cries. And so when we say Jesus, we are actually talking about the very answer that God gave to our cries. I'm saying all these things so that when we get to next week, you can enjoy this process of Holy Week and enjoy your interaction, and all the events of Jesus have got a direct bearing on your life. And mine too. And so Jesus will come for what? For me and for you. Jesus will suffer for what? For me and for you. He will be rejected. He will be betrayed. He will go through all manner of pain to the point of being crucified on the cross. But all that process is nothing if you can't receive it, because it was about us. When we see Jesus, we see our hope. When we see Jesus, we see our redemption. When we see Jesus, we see the answer of God to our cries, our pain. And so the psalmist has this imagination of this song of ascent. In fact, the Jews would use these psalms to proclaim their hope. So they use them to, as they are ascending Mount Zion, or when they used to climb the steps of the temple. They would say, the Lord has been good to us. Restore our fortunes, O God. Like the watercourse of Negev, those who sowed in tears will reap with songs of joy. So it is an affirmation. It is kind of a prophetic process of engaging with the promises of God. Let me conclude and say, when we know who this Jesus is, guess what? We become crazy. Yeah. Crazy like crazy. Yeah, I mean crazy. Like the woman was crazy. When she sat there, she was like, You guys are just here eating burgers. I know who this guy is. He is my life. He is my hope. He is my everything. And she began to pour out onto him. She began to relate. She began to connect. If we will look at this guy, each one of us here gonna talk about him in our homes. Gonna talk about him in our workplaces. We won't feel embarrassed. We will be crazy. Like, oh, did you know what Jesus did for me? I was blind, but I can see. I was this, but now I am here. I was hopeless, but now I have hope. I was depressed, but now I feel like there's every reason to live on. I want you to know that when we discover who this dear Jesus is, we're going to be crazy St. Michaels. We're going to do things like people who have met the answer, who have met the solution, like people who have, you know, I love the craziness of the president of Ukraine. But in the midst of pain and hope and all the distress, he still stands and says, we will fight for our Ukraine. We will defend our Ukraine. He will stand in the midst of all the pain and all the hopelessness and give hope and give a solution that, hey, we are not giving up. We are not going to be stuck here. We will look up and victory belongs to us. And people feel pumped up. People feel like, yes, let's do it. We need hope. This world needs hope. This world needs love. This world needs to know that not all is doomed. And guess what? St. Michael's have found that which the world has. Let's just do it like the woman did. Let's break our alabaster jars. Let's break our jewels and bring them to Jesus. And let the fragrance of what he has done in us go forth into the world. Let everybody know that the Savior is come. The Lord God has been good to us. He has given us Jesus Christ. Get excited about the gift that God has given us. We're going to be crazy and show it forth that we are the redeemed of the Lord. Jesus, thank you.